SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. It is Matt Harvey Day as he returns to the place that gave him all his fame in Gotham. Unfortunately, it's not going very well as the Mets lead the Baltimore Orioles 3-0. Let's get to our headlines here on Fantasy Sports Today as we start off the second hour of the show. Orioles, Mets, Reds, Pirates underway. Nothing really happening, although looks like Jonathan Villar, or was it Kevin Pillar? I'm sorry. Kevin Pillar off to a good start for the Mets today. Chicago and Cleveland starting now. James Harden game time decision against the Spurs this evening. AD questionable yet again. LeBron, though, expected to return tonight against the Houston Rockets. I'll believe that when I see it. And Donovan Mitchell going to be out for the playoffs. So that's where we begin our headlines, Davis. But I think that everyone seems to be getting a huge kick out of Twitter today, because the NFL schedule release is coming up later tonight. But the NFL, like, their responsibility, isn't it, to keep some of this secret? Will there be a single secret tonight, Davis, when they release the schedule? Because, I mean, I'm looking at an entire New Orleans Saints schedule on a sheet of paper here that somebody's posted on Twitter. What gives here?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think the NFL likes to leak the stuff early because they want people on social media to be talking about it. They want you and I here on Sports Grid TV to be talking about it. You know, they want a block of Fantasy Sports Today to be talking about Cowboys at Bucks, to be talking about Bears at Rams, to be talking about Ravens at Raiders, to be talking about how the schedule is or isn't to our liking. You know, do we enjoy the Monday night doubleheader? Do we not enjoy the Monday night doubleheader? Do we care about the 17-game season? Do we not care about the 17-game season? So I think this is all going perfectly according to plan for the NFL, to be honest.
All right. Well, Davis, there's really good news for you, because the first game of the NFL season is going to feature your favorite team, I believe, the Dallas Cowboys, as they're going to Tampa Bay to take on the world champion Buccaneers. That's the Thursday night opener. Now, again, these are all rumored, nothing official, and I'm not going to do every single game because it's nonsense, but the Thursday night opener is Cowboys-Bucks. The Sunday night game to start the season will be Bears-Rams, which definitely has Stafford there in L.A., maybe Fields with Chicago. And then, Davis, as you mentioned earlier in the show, you're not a huge fan of this one Monday night football game. The last 5 years, they've had two Monday night games. This year, they're going to have one. And the Ravens will travel to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders and the Raiders stadium in Las Vegas, first time with fans since they opened up the stadium. I don't know what kind of capacity they're going to have, Davis, but if it's full capacity, that's going to be an unbelievable scene to start the season, I can tell you that.
Yeah, Vegas opening weekend, you're going to have a bunch of hungover, you know, people from all over the country who spent all Sunday, you know, drunk at the casinos, betting on games. Can't play DFS in Las Vegas, though. It's always something that has weighed on my mind on heading out there for a couple of days. It's, you know, a lot of people, obviously, you know, many people in the world prefer betting on sports to playing DFS. I prefer DFS to sports betting. So, you know, a little bit of cost benefit analysis for me heading out there. I will say one actionable thing I did think from this opening, you know, learning these games. No way do the Chicago Bears throw Justin Fields to the Wolves, making him start that first game against the Rams defense. They're definitely going. They're definitely going Andy Dalton in that first game, right? No doubt about it. They are going with Andy Dalton in that very first game. So in terms of thinking of offensive rookie of the year, prop bets, you know, over-unders, how many fantasy points, how many yards will Fields throw for, yada, yada, so on and so forth, I'll say it's 90% that Andy Dalton starts that very first game against the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, you know what? That's why we have you here. That never even occurred to me. I was thinking completely about just the chance of Fields playing in the game I did not, I forget how good the Rams defense is with Aaron Donald and those guys there. You're right. It would be insane, actually. It would be kind of what the Bears do, to be honest. But yeah, it would be insane.
You're right.
Because you know, it's kind of the way that they operate. But truthfully speaking, the last thing you want to do is like a David Carr ruin the kid in the first two games of the season. Like Fields, he could get mentally ruined by getting or even hurt in a game like this. I do believe they have somewhat of OTAs. I do believe they will have somewhat of a preseason. But yeah, that's a great call by you. There's just I mean, and not only that, but maybe all Fields' statistical props, if those come out prior to preseason starting, I think that's probably a good bet that at the very least he misses one game this season. Yeah, because that would just be nuts. I mean, imagine Aaron Donald hurting Fields in game one, in a game he didn't even have to play. Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. All right, so coming up next, we are going to speak with George Kurtz, our friend, of course, from Sports Grid, who has a very big role in talking a lot of things here on the show. You see him sometimes on Game Time Decisions, in Game Live, big baseball fan, huge football fan, but one of the more educated hockey analysts that we have here on Sports Grid, does a great job breaking it all down. He's going to give us two of his favorite bets to win the 2021 Stanley Cup final. So make sure you stay tuned to that. We'll show you all the odds on FanDuel. And then after that, we're going to bring in Matthew Friedman, and he is going to join Davis. They're going to talk about a couple of running back comparisons and also the quarterback comparisons with some of the rookies in fantasy football in 2021. Also, of course, we have fantasy or reality and a little Sports Grid 60. So that's how we're going to roll here on this Wednesday. We'll take a quick time out here on the show. Make sure that you watch our program, of course, 24/7 if you can. But if you're leaving us at any point, you can see all of our shows on demand on YouTube. We'll be back with George Kurtz. Don't go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
First game.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are about to get underway. A few games left for each team. We thought it would be a good exercise, maybe once a week or every couple weeks, to check in with our resident hockey expert, NHL expert, and of course here from Sports Grid, George Kurtz, who filled in with me last week. And George, you know, you thought you were out, but we pulled you back in to appear on the show today. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well here. Listen, I'm always happy to talk hockey playoffs. I mean, Craig, listen, I'm a baseball guy, I'm a football guy, and I'm a hockey guy. And I love them all, but hockey playoffs, which will start Saturday, right after the Preakness, there's just nothing like hockey playoffs. And if you have money on the game, if you're a fantasy player, or you're a rooting interest in the game, and it goes to overtime, I don't know how you sit down.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, George, it's a pretty good exercise. I think that as we close in on the playoffs to see if there's any value on a team, maybe potentially to win the Stanley Cup in 2021. And that's where I want to begin here with you today. So as we take a look at it, I'm going to show you the six, let's say, chalky favorites. And you can pick one of these or you can give me somebody else they think gives good value. So let's take a look at it. Colorado Avalanche, +450. Vegas Golden Knights, +550. Toronto, about 6.5 to 1. Tampa Bay, 7.5 to 1, Carolina, 8.5 to 1, and then the Boston Bruins are 12 to 1. I see three or four dangerous teams there, George, but you know a lot more than I do about this. If you're placing a bet on a team to win the Stanley Cup and you're doing it before Saturday begins, who would you pick?
Now, what I believe are the two best teams in the NHL are going to have some issues this year. And let's start over in your neck of the woods, right? A little north of you. We're not going down to Florida and Miami and the Panthers, who I think they're a really good team. But they're going to play with Lightning, Tampa Bay Lightning, in the first round. In my mind, the Lightning, all things being equal, even, they're the best team in the NHL. But But Stamkos has been out about a month. He's going to play game one. Kucherov's been out all year. He's going to play game one. But as you and I well know, just because you're going to play game one when you haven't played in that long, Kucherov now hasn't played in about, what, 6 months, 7 months. I don't know what kind of shape he's going, as far as game shape he's going to be in. I'm sure he's fine health-wise. I have no doubt the Lightning manipulated the long-term IR to stay under the cap here, and that's why Kucherov didn't play maybe the last week or two. I find it just awfully convenient. Yeah, he couldn't play all season, but he's ready for game one of the playoffs. Yeah, okay. I'm sure that worked out that way. But that being said, that is what it is. Are they ready to play playoff hockey? You know, there's hockey, there's regular season hockey, and there's playoff hockey. They're just different levels. So I don't know how fast or it takes these guys to get ready for it. Or are they going to be down 2-0 before they're ready to play here? It's a lot to ask for a good Florida team. But still, Tampa Bay, in my mind, is the best team in the NHL, all things being even. Now, you bring up another one. Colorado and Vegas in the, the out west here. I love both these teams. But in this year in the NHL, they're going to play inside their division first. So Colorado and Vegas, assuming they both win the first round, which is a big assumption, as Colorado is likely going to have to play the Minnesota Wild, and the Wild are a good team. No one wants to play them. There's a reason why you want to finish first in that division. I'm not knocking St. Louis. Well, I guess I am, but I'm not trying to. But you don't want to play Minnesota. So you want to finish first and play St. Louis in the first round, not Minnesota. But assuming they both get by it, well, they're going to play each other in the second round, and they're going to kick the snot out of each other in that round. Both very good teams. But what of them's not going on here? So that's the problem. If you bet on Colorado, they may not get past Vegas in the second round, and vice versa. If you bet on Vegas, they may not get past Colorado. I think for me, I go Vegas only because, once again, I think they have a second-best team in the NHL. They don't have the sexy names. There's no Connor McDavid, no Sidney Crosby, Auston Matthews, could go on and on. But they're a team. And they're a team that can play any – how you want to play? You want to play fast? We'll play fast. We can roll 3-4 lines at you and go with you. We'll play score for score. We have a good, solid defense. We picked up Pietrangelo from the Blues during the offseason. We know he can play, and we have two great starting goaltenders, Leonard and Fleury. You want to play rough and tumble? Hey, we'll send Ryan Reeves out there. Go deal with him. That's not fun. And Colorado's not going to play that kind of game anyway. So I think it's going to, once again, I think Vegas is one of the best overall teams in the NHL. But I don't know if they're going to get past the second round. That's why I would stay away from that. It's hard to bet on Tampa Bay. You mentioned Boston. I think they were the sixth on your list there. Boston might be the most complete team in the Eastern Division, but good luck. That's Pittsburgh, Washington, the Islanders, and Boston. Those four teams are going to kill each other. They're just going to kill each other. Why I like Boston, though, is they're the one team that's probably, outside of the Islanders, the most set in goal. You know it's Tuukka-Rask. Washington, listen, neither Vanacek or Samsonov has really played all that well this season. They've been questionable at best. And Pittsburgh, Jarry and DeSmith right now are hurt. They'll be fine for whenever game one is, if it's Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday in June, whatever they decide it might be there. But still, we're not exactly talking playoff-tested goaltenders here. Boston set up. They picked up Taylor Hall at the trade deadline. He is fitting nicely. Hall's been sort of a misfit toy for the past couple of years. Arizona didn't work out. Devils outside of the 1 year didn't work out. Buffalo was a complete disaster. Gets traded to Boston. All of a sudden, he looks good. That's a legitimate second line now. Second line there now with Krejci, Hall. They're playing well. So Boston, in my mind, is the most complete team. Defense can be really a little shaky, but you can say that about Pittsburgh and Washington as well. Islanders have the defense. They have the system of Trotz. Just can't score goals. So they might have a trouble getting out of the first round. Pittsburgh has dominated them. I like Boston coming out of that division. But like I said, if I'm going to bet, give me Toronto. And I say this because I don't think Toronto's better than any of the teams I just mentioned. Colorado, Vegas, Tampa. I don't think Toronto's better than all of them. But they're the best team in their division. They're better than Edmonton. Right, no doubt they'll take care of Edmonton. They're better than Montreal. They're better than Winnipeg. Remember, you're finishing your division first. If I'm right, that automatically makes Toronto top four.
Right.
And then before we know who they're going to play in the third round, we don't know they're going to reseed. So I'll take my chances with Toronto. I don't think they're as good probably as any of these other teams that are going to come out, but they may be the hottest team. They may be the most well-rested team if they take care of business quickly. And that's one other thing to worry about. The Canadian division, the North division, we have no idea when they're going to start their playoffs because, as you and I were talking before the show, Vancouver still has 6 games left. They're going to play in the next week.
Yeah.
So it means they're going to be 4, 5, 6 days behind these other series, which means even if Toronto does damage and sweeps people, they may have to start up right away. Next series, no break, start right away. Where the other divisions have their playoffs more spread out because, hey, we got time. We got to let Toronto catch up. We got to let the North catch up here. So that's something else to keep in mind. But I like Toronto because I think they're going to make the final four.
Okay. I thought I'd get five questions in. I guess I'm going to hope for two here with you, George. You did a great job breaking everything down. So just to be clear, to win the championship, you would pick one of two teams of the ones we mentioned, Tampa Bay in terms of the odds, and also Vegas, right? Those are the two favorite teams. I just want to make sure I get a yes or no on that before I ask you my next question, right? Are
I
those
think they
your
were
two
two
favorite
best
ones?
teams. I think they are the two best teams. So Tampa Bay and Vegas wouldn't shock me if they have the cup final, assuming they can meet in the cup.
You mentioned St. Louis. They still have a lot of players from the championship team from when they won the title. You don't like them at all going into this? I know they're very hot. They've played very well over the last couple of weeks.
They're not the same team. They had a magical run that year. They were in last place in January in the league, not in their division, in the league. They were in last place in January. They called up Jordan Binnington, the goaltender. He's a brick wall. He's not letting anything in. They win the cup. They've had a lot of injuries this year. Losing Pietrangelo in the offseason was huge. The guy's a great defenseman, more on the defensive side than the offensive, but he's a great overall defenseman. They're in trouble going up against Colorado or Vegas. They really don't match up well there. I said it won't be easy. It's only a four-game sweep for either team, but I don't think they're going to get past Colorado or Vegas. And the problem is this: even if you do, then you got to play the other one. You beat Vegas, then you got to go play Colorado. Assuming Colorado wins, they're not getting out of that division.
All right. Well, next week when you come on the show, what we'll do is we'll break down the individual games one by one, when they're on the doorstep here. But George, real quick, we have 1 minute to go here. Who wins the Vezina Trophy? Who wins that when they announce that?
It's going to be Vasilevskiy. He's the best goaltender in the NHL. He's had a fantastic season. A little shaky at the end, but that's because Tampa Bay didn't care. They didn't care what place they finished. All they cared about was health, getting everybody healthy. And I don't blame them. But Vasilevskiy's going to win the Vezina. Would be a very big shock if he does not. Grubauer has some argument there, but the COVID problem at the end of the season probably took him out of it. Vasilevskiy, unless the voters are bored.
All right, George, thank you again for coming on. Really appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again soon. Enjoy the first round of the NHL playoffs.
Damn right. You also.
Will do. George Kurtz with us here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll take a quick time out here on the show. More coming up on Sports Grid. Make sure you follow us, of course, on Twitter at Sports Grid. And we'll be back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by my good friend Matthew Friedman. Brought him on a bunch before the draft, but Matt, we are here. We have passed the NFL draft. I'm in about 17 rookie drafts right now. I'm frantically sending out trades to our friends because I have too many picks in some of these leagues, due to tanking off last year. How many rookie drafts are you in right now?
I think about four, which I made a really conscious decision a few years ago to pare back the number of dynasty leagues I was in. And I'm always, it's like a bittersweet thing I have going on this time of year. I'm always like, oh, I kind of wish I were in more. But then like the trade offers start pouring in. It's like, you know what? I'm glad I'm only in four.
Yeah, about week nine, I'm like, I would really like to play in about two dynasty leagues. But, we're sitting here on, in the second week of May, and I'm like, I think I could probably do like 20 of these and still, find enough serotonin in them. So I kind of wanted to go through some of the new, very fantasy relevant rookies and just kind of compare and contrast them to each other and how we expect their fantasy value to play out in 2020 and then, in the future. And I think, honestly, very rarely are our running back fantasy discussions all that interesting because it just kind of comes down to, well, whoever gets more touches is probably going to be better. But I think that Najee Harris versus Travis Etienne, both in 2020 and extending beyond that is fascinating, because Harris, everyone just assumes right now he's walking in to 300 touches, right? And that ETN is going to be splitting with Carlos Hyde and James Robinson. And Hyde is for sure going to be annoying. But I still kind of feel like long-term, I would maybe rather have ETN. In fact, I would rather have ETN long-term.
Yeah, before the draft, you know, not thinking about landing spots at all, ETN was my number one running back in the class. And if you want to take a landing spot agnostic approach, I still think that's the one you go with. ETN is the better receiving back, and he's a year younger. And I think in terms of like overall skill set, he's right there with Harris. So I can see the case for ETN. That said, I do have to go with Harris because I'm a donkey, and I'm just going to say, like, he's going to get the Le'Veon Bell 300 touch treatment this year. And that means a year from now, I think he's going to be worth way more in dynasty leagues than Travis Etienne is. So in terms of the projected production you can get from him this year and the value he's going to have next year, I think you have to go with Harris.
Okay. One thing I am worried about with Etienne is we are starting to get some big signals that Urban Meyer might not know what he's doing. Originally, I know you kind of like Daryl Bevel a little bit more than I do. I didn't think that was a particularly sharp hire as an offensive coordinator. This Tebow signing, I mean, this is, you can view this through the lens of he's doing a favor to an old friend, or you can view this through the lens of like Urban Meyer literally is just a circus character and has no idea and is just trying to get media attention. Then there was the quotes after the draft about, you know, oh, we really wish we would have gotten Kadarius Toney, and our hearts were breaking that we didn't get Kadarius Toney. He was basically viewed as the most overhyped wide receiver prospect of the draft, and who is the guy that took him? Dave Gettleman, who we all think of as like an actual clown running an NFL franchise. Like, I am a little worried. In fact, I am so worried about the year one Jaguars offense being so brutal due to all of this Urban Meyer chicanery that I think I would not tell someone they were wrong for taking Trey Lance over Trevor Lawrence right now. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm 100% there with you. Trey Lance is my 101 in super flex leagues. And I think Trevor Lawrence is the safer pick, but I really don't even know if that's true anymore, because I am worried about Urban Meyer and what we might see out of that offense. And think of the Justin Fields situation. He's been downgraded pretty widely across the industry, in part because people are almost assuming that there will be a regime change at some point, and that could set Justin Fields back in his development. We really could see something like that for Trevor Lawrence as well. If this Urban Meyer system really tanks in year one and it doesn't progress all that much in year two, in year three, Trevor Lawrence could have a new coach and a new offensive system he has to learn. So Trey Lance, given his rushing ability and given his youth, and then given the stability, at least the seeming stability of the Shanahan regime in San Francisco, I do think Trey Lance is the 101. And it pains me to say that as someone who has the 101 and didn't trade it earlier. I wish I would have traded back a couple of spots. But yeah, I think if you have the 101 in Superflex, Trey Lance is the guy that you go with. And I think sooner rather than later, he ends up being the starter in year one. I mean, he could have some real Konami code value in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, he is such a great rusher. Like, he is a gigantic human being. He's like 200. He like plays at like 230, 235 pounds. Yeah. Like, it's gonna be pretty special, I think, to watch him with the Kyle Shanahan offense. All right, I want to transition to Cincinnati now, because in redraft leagues, Ja'Marr Chase is going ahead of T. Higgins, Matt, and I know we all love the new shiny thing. But, like, this is absurd, right? Like, Ja'Marr Chase, great prospect. You know, they selected him 5 overall, yada, yada. But just year one, T. Higgins is going to score more fantasy points than Ja'Marr Chase. Like, that almost certainly has to be true.
I mean, I'm assuming so. I'm right there with you. If you look, as you say, across the industry, you are seeing Ja'Marr Chase go ahead of T. Higgins. And I think part of that is because the people who were drafting at this time of the year tend to be super focused on rookies in general and tend to be pretty aggressive. And so whereas last year they might have thought of T. Higgins as an up-and-comer and the guy they want to be early on, this year they're thinking of Ja'Marr Chase as the up-and-comer and T. Higgins as more of the known entity. But T. Higgins had a great rookie year last year, especially when you take into account that he wasn't playing with Burrow for the entire season. He had to deal with subpar quarterbacks for a chunk of the year, and he looked great. I mean, last year he was the top pick of the second round. He was great at Clemson. He's got a good athletic profile. As great as Ja'Marr Chase is, he hasn't played football in a year, right? Like, there will be, I think, a re-acclimation to the game. And then the transition to the NFL isn't always easy for wide receivers anyway. And then Higgins, he already does have some connection with Burrow. He's the established number one in that offense. I'm with you. I do have Higgins in my rankings ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. And I normally hate, especially with teammates, going against what I'm seeing in ADP. But this
Right.
is like, because, the market tends to be smarter than I am. But this is one area where I just have to go against the market. I have to go with Higgins over Chase.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel as if the market was already wrong once on this, though, because the market disregarded T. Higgins last year. He was a second round rookie pick. He went very late. He was literally like he was a waiver wire pickup in most leagues. AJ Green was being drafted, and Tyler Boyd was fine. And I guess I don't even know off the top of my head where Tyler Boyd is going. My guess is Tyler Boyd probably ends up actually being the best fantasy value there because they don't have a tight end. They are probably not going to be throwing to Joe Mixon, all that often. Maybe we allocate 50 or 60 targets for Joe Mixon. The last thing that I wanted to cover here is Kyle Pitts and the Atlanta Falcons, because look, all due respect, I have taken Kyle Pitts at 103, at 104. I traded up for him in some of these dynasty leagues, but I have not taken him yet in a redraft league or a best ball league because he's being drafted ahead of Noah Fant, ahead of TJ Hawkinson, ahead of Dallas Goedert. And it's like, look, I get it. He's definitely going to have some amazing spike weeks, I think. Like, it would not surprise me if he scores two touchdowns in a game multiple times in his rookie season. Like, that's within the range of outcomes. But it's also in the range of outcomes that he has like 45 targets on the year, because that's just what happens with rookie tight ends. So what are you doing with Kyle Pitts in redraft?
I'm with you. I haven't taken him in redraft and best ball. He's going ahead of Mark Andrews in some leagues, which just feels a little too much. I'm going to get my exposure in Dynasty. I'm going to get my exposure in DFS. But right now, I have him number seven in my rankings, obviously behind the big three, behind Andrews, behind Goddard, behind Hawkinson. I do think there's a case to be made for him going ahead of guys like Logan Thomas, Noah Fant, and whoever it is that you want to have in that tier underneath, because he does have tremendous upside. And I think what we will get out of, let's say, like Logan Thomas and Noah Fant this year, isn't enough to warrant that we must take them over Pitts and the upside that he has, especially with the idea that he really could play far, far ahead of the other tight end that they have there in Atlanta. And then there is the possibility of Julio Jones being traded. And if that happens, then like we see a world of targets going to Kyle Pitts. And so the possibility of that is what has me at this point going ahead of Thomas and Fant. And I mean, maybe I will start to push him up the board a little bit. I don't think I can have him ahead of Hawkinson right now, but I mean, there is tremendous upside if Julio is traded.
I mean, there is a scenario that plays out where Kyle Pitts is actually a unicorn, and it's just like, okay, well, I'm already the third best tight end in the NFL, and I'm going to get 90 receptions. And also, Julio, 33 years old, You know, it never say never with an old wide receiver just, you know, basically heading out into the pasture their final year. We're going to go ahead and go into break here real quick on Sports Grid TV. On the other side of break, I will be rejoined by Craig Mish. See you guys in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At least 11 games every year. At least, and now he has an extra
game. Weekdays, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern on the Sports Grid Network.
Welcome back, Sports Grid Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, David Smadick. I know we've covered a lot here on this show today, plenty, including a little fantasy reality coming up. We're going to bring in our producer, Brett Levy, for that. Before we do that, though, Davis, PGA Tour, Byron Nelson, I believe tomorrow begins. Any opinions on that? Because by the time we're here tomorrow, I think it's going to be underway.
Yeah, fascinating. Every time the PGA Tour plays at a new course, no PGA Tour sanctioned event has ever been played at TPC Craig Ranch, where they're playing this year. I'm expecting it to play like a total muni. I think these guys are going to crush this course. I think, you know, minus 20, something like that is a winning score. And you can still get our guy, John Rahm, on the FanDuel Sportsbook at 8-1 to win. Our friends over at Data Golf think he should be like 6.5-1 to win. So I like that number, you know. Our friend Jeff Feinberg always says, you know, you bet it like a football game. So you make one bet. You bet on John Rahm, and you come in, check in on Sunday to see if he's near the top of the leaderboard, and you have yourself a little spectacle to tune in for.
Yeah, well, hopefully so. We'll keep an eye on it this weekend, no doubt. All right, Brett, what do we got for fantasy or reality today, and what has moved you over the week to jump in on this one today?
All right, Craig. So we're starting off with the Oakland A's today because – yesterday, it was announced that Major League Baseball is asking them to pursue other cities. And Oakland A's have been trying to build a new stadium in Oakland. We've seen the Warriors leave for San Francisco. We've seen the Raiders leave for Las Vegas. So fantasy or reality, the Oakland A's will leave Oakland. Davis, we'll start with you. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Well, you know, I kind of hope that it is a fantasy because I like the A's. I like their jerseys. I like the history of that franchise. You know, I enjoy the mystique. Obviously, we all enjoyed Moneyball. We all like Billy Beane. We of course love, you know, Brad Pitt playing him. And I think a lot of us have a romanticism attached to that organization because they really, I think the A's more than any other franchise are associated with the removal of sports from, you know, the dark ages into our enlightened analytics age here. But I don't know. Baseball, I guess, is a sport that tends to not be in favor of relocation, whereas I feel like in the NHL and the NBA and the NFL, like if they team wants to relocate, they figure out a way to do it. I'm going to say fantasy, but that is a strong conviction lightly held. I do think it is pretty possible they could relocate, Craig.
Yeah, it seems like this is more of a threat than a move. I'm going to say fantasy as well. I think the A's will find a way to stay in Oakland. They clearly can't stay in that ballpark. It is arguably the one ballpark that needs an upgrade more than any team in Major League Baseball, even with the renovations that they've had there. You know, Davis, what I think is going to happen is I don't think the Rays are going to stay in Tampa Bay. That's the one team that I think will just eventually have to give up. There's just been too much smoke with them possibly playing in Canada for a little bit and then playing in Florida. I mean, now is not the time to relocate anyone with COVID. Strangely enough, with all of the people who play sports here and all of the kids who play baseball here, they just don't support the baseball teams very well. I don't know why. There's really no good reason for it. And the Rays stadium is also very old and really wasn't built right in the first place. So I'm going to say fantasy A's stay, but in the next 5 years, I do think the Rays go. I think Tampa Bay heads to greener pastures. And Vegas, by the way, probably at the top of the list.
All right. And I've actually been to the Oco Coliseum, so I've seen a baseball game there. But our next fantasy reality is going to be a little hip-hop based, Craig. J. Cole signed with the Rwanda Patriots of the Basketball Africa League over the week. This is a new league that's starting this weekend. It's starting on Sunday. Also, J. Cole has a hip-hop album, a new album, dropping on Friday. So, big weekend for J. Cole. He starts his basketball career. He's got a new album coming out. Fantasy or reality, Craig, we'll start with you. You are interested in watching J. Cole play pro basketball, fantasy or reality?
Well, first of all, I think many people know from watching the show that I am very much into hip hop and rap music, although the last few years, last 5-10 years of it, I really don't have a ton of interest in. This is a big fantasy for me. I could care less. I'd rather see Kenneth Cole play basketball or Garrett Cole play basketball. I don't care at all. I have no interest whatsoever. I got my hands full enough with Little League here, hosting TV shows, writing columns, working for fantasy outlets. This is just last on my list of things that I would be interested in. I guess if there was another football league that started, like the XFL or the AFL, maybe I'd put this above that because those fail pretty quickly. But I'm sorry, I am completely out on this one. This is as big a fantasy as anything we've had in a long time. Give me Kenneth Cole playing basketball. I may be interested. Definitely not J. Cole. Don't care less.
So I am interested enough that if I see a clip of this on my Twitter timeline, I would, like, if there's like a highlight package of J. Cole, you know, making jump shots, grabbing some rebounds, I'll watch 45 seconds of this. I will turn it on long enough. I'll be sitting there scrolling on my phone and I'll watch, 30, 45 seconds of J. Cole, hitting jump shots or whatever. If he has a cool dunk, I assume J. Cole can probably dunk if he's signing in this league. Like I'm interested enough in that. But will I, search out a stream to watch this? Am I like a J. Cole mega fan that absolutely needs to see him playing in this, semi-professional basketball league? No, I'm not. I'm not interested enough to do that, Brett.
And we've seen like Kevin Hart, and we've seen actors and comedians play in those exhibition basketball games that fall in line with the All-Star game and things of that nature. And I think that those are okay. Those are acceptable because you're kind of tuning in anyway. You're invested already in the day, or you're invested already in the night. Like, this is something completely separate. And I'm just so far out on this one. Maybe it's just me being old, but I'm out. Sorry, Brett. Go ahead.
No worries at all. I'm kind of with you guys. I don't really think I'm very interested either. But something that may pique my interest, Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury will fight in Saudi Arabia either August 7th or 14th. The final details haven't been worked out, but they've started promoting the fight. It'll be a heavyweight title fight. I read somewhere 4 different belts might be on the line in this one. It's the heavyweight fight people have been waiting for. So this raises the question, because Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather are fighting in an exhibition fight in Miami on June 6th. I've seen somewhere that former NFL wide receiver Chad Johnson is going to be on that card. So, fantasy or reality, Craig, since one of these fights is in Miami, we'll start with you. The Joshua versus Fury heavyweight title fight will outdraw Mayweather versus Logan Paul. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Boy, this is a very, very tough one. A very good question to end on our fantasy reality. So, I think that in person, more people are going to watch Tyson Fury fight Joshua. But I think online, and I think that watching via Showtime, there are going to be more purchases of Mayweather versus Paul, because Paul is a major influence on YouTube and Instagram and everywhere else, and people will support him. But I do think the in-person fight, that heavyweight fight, will generate more ticket sales. But the overall handle, Davis, I believe will go the way of Mayweather-Paul, and I'm not sure what that says about us, because that heavyweight fight should be way more. But you're talking about one of the more popular people on YouTube and Instagram. They've already set up the fight with the whole hat nonsense that happened last week. So in the end, it's shock value, it's interest, and it's unfortunate because the other fight is way better and way more interesting. And if Mayweather were to somehow lose this fight, the only way it could be construed is that he would just take a dive. There's nothing else possible except for him taking a dive here. So I will say Joshua Fury will outdraw reality at the gate in person, but television-wise and revenue streaming and watching, it's going to be Mayweather-Paul. So that would be fantasy.
It's not even close. It truly is not even close. I would say four times as many people are going to watch Mayweather-Paul than will watch Joshua Fury. I don't know. I probably know like two people in my real life who care about the results of the heavyweight fight between Joshua and Fury. Everyone I know, every person I know, will know who wins between Mayweather and Paul. Craig, you'll know. Brett will know, James from LTN will know, everyone on our network, George Kurtz will know, Matt Friedman, who we had on last segment, he'll know. Even if you don't watch it, guarantee, I guarantee everyone I know with a Twitter account is going to know who won between Mayweather and Paul. And let's say 20% of those people watch the fight and 10% of those 20 people pay for it. They still, I think you'll be wrong. I think Mayweather-Paul, I think the handle will be bigger, because it doesn't have anything to do with Mayweather. It's all about the money machine that is the Paul brothers. And I can't even say what it is their skill is, what it is they would market themselves as. But I know those Paul brothers, they make money. That's what they do. They make money. They make engagements. They make content, and that's what they do, and they're brilliant at it. And so Mayweather Paul is gonna outdraw Joshua versus Fury for sure.
Brett, do you fall in line with Davis's thinking there? I'm almost there. I'm not quite though. I do think in person more people are gonna go to the heavyweight fight, but I don't know anything about where they're fighting in Saudi Arabia. Maybe that's a bad call by me too. But what do you think, Brett?
I guess I hope more people tune in around the world for the title fight, because it would just be sad if the state of boxing was based around exhibition Logan Paul and Jake Paul fights. So I'm hopeful that the title fight outdraws the Paul brothers.
Yeah, well, I think that Davis is going to be right in the end. I do think that there will be more people watching this crazy bananas fight. And I didn't even know about Chad Johnson. I wonder who else is on that undercard too. Have they even announced that? We know Snoop Dogg is probably going to be calling it, I'm sure. Boy, Davis, my big concern is Mayweather like just wants two fights out of this, man. Like you're not concerned about that at all?
I can't imagine a world in which the fight Mayweather decides to lose is against someone as annoying as one of the Paul brothers. I feel like that's too much of a hit to his pride, I feel like.
I mean, I hope so. I really do. All right, coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60. Then we got to get out of here for this Wednesday. So make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid, sportsgrid.com/watch. If you're watching us on demand, you can watch our show live every day from noon to 2 Eastern. We'll be back. Stay on the grid. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, to close out the show today, the Matt Harvey experiment did not go well in New York today. Gave up too many runs to mention as the Mets going for yet another win on this win streak. Also, Mike Moustakas is homered for the Cincinnati Reds, so they're off to a good start today. We'll recap it all for you tomorrow right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Let's turn it over to Davis Maddock for today's Sports Grid 60. Davis, what do you have today for us?
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about Matt Harvey because I've always been annoyed by Matt Harvey, right? So at Matt Harvey at his peak, when Matt Harvey was shoving it for the New York Mets, that was when the Kansas City Royals were great, and that was when the Kansas City Royals won the World Series against Brett's New York Mets. And if you guys remember, basically that series turned when Matt Harvey demanded he stay in the game. The manager came out to the mound and said, "Matt, you know, it's time. We're pulling you. You got a runner on first. You're running low on gas." It was the eighth inning, and he said, No. I'm staying in." And Eric Hosmer hit a slow dribbler to shortstop, but he beat it out. And at the same time, the first baseman Lucas Duda ended up making an error throwing to home. And from that point, Matt Harvey was never the same. The Mets didn't win another game in the series. The Kansas City Royals won the World Series championship. So I just wanted to remind Brett of that on this Matt Harvey day.
So the Royals did end Matt Harvey. It was all the Royals. Okay. Hadn't heard that theory before. Maybe it is accurate. All right. So what is going on with shortages in this country? First of all, there's somehow a gas shortage in some places, or is there not a gas shortage? I can't figure it out. Suckered me into go getting gas the other day. But boy, things have really gotten bad when Chick-fil-A comes out and announces that they're having issues getting their sauce to their customers. This is correct. As of right now, Chick-fil-A has a sauce shortage, and you can no longer get multiple little canisters of their sauce. I don't know what's going on in this country, whether it's gas or whether it is sauce, but hopefully it will stop there. And that's where we will end the show today. Thank you again to James at LTN, for Danny and Ryan. Appreciate their help. For our producer, Brett Harvey, and my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Have a great day, everybody.